Michael, thank you.
Good morning.
My name is Carl Huber, and you are?
Terry Wolf.
Ah, and with what company?
Appley Schools.
Okay, excellent. So we're going to introduce you to some of the resources for Progress Partners. We'll talk to you about where you can find them. We'll talk to you about some of the capabilities and resources that are available to you as a Progress Partner around all of the Progress technologies. I'm going to introduce you to my colleague, Richard Stone, who's going to talk to you a little bit more about migrating the Open Edge application to the cloud as an example. Richard?
Oh. Okay.
Quick introduction.
Quick introduction. Presumably it's right to go forward and left to go back, right?
That's
right. So what we're going to do is kick off. So this session is all about resources. So we thought, just to give you a sort of a feel for, and to put it in some kind of context, we'd start off with a real life initiative that we're going to be focusing a lot more in the coming months, and that is this whole issue of migrating applications to Open Edge. So every partner is concerned. Well, you know, we've got on-premise applications, we've got the cloud coming out, we're losing business to SaaS vendors. So, and I'll just go through just a little bit of the context and the overview here. And just to repeat what Jess said earlier, with the cloud, you're not going to wake up on Monday morning and everybody's gone to the cloud. On-premise will continue, right? I mean, you listen to sort of eWeek and people like that, you think that it's the on-premise is all done. But on-premise will continue. And if you listen to Phil Peed this morning, he talked about systems of record and systems of engagement. And what I see happening is these on-premise staying as the system of record because it's secure, there are proven systems there. And then the big investment now, the increase in the investment, IT investment, is going into what's called systems of engagement. So what we're finding, what you're probably seeing, is some applications will be born in the cloud. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to build a mobile application, for instance, which only runs on-premise. So there will be those applications which are built for the cloud. Some applications will migrate to the cloud. You're probably, if you've got a look at your OpenEdge inventory, you're looking at some of those applications and saying, you know, we with a little bit of effort, we could actually get those out into the cloud. And some will stay where they are. Some applications just don't need to move. They're the types of applications where there's no need to expose them to the cloud. So what we're finding is more and more questions from application partners, and I know your services partners, but sort of the relevance will become clear hopefully in a minute. So which application should I move? How do I decide? How do I do it? Do I just tear up my OpenEdge investment and rewrite it all in JavaScript? Do I modernize the applications? And when should I do it? Do I have to do it now, or can I afford to wait? But the most important question all of them are asking is, you know, I've got this huge investment in Open Edge, and some of them really do. I was in the UK last week. I'm actually based down in Texas, by the way, as you probably gathered. We were with the fifth largest software company in the UK, who is an Open Edge partner. Fifth largest. They do around about total $300 to $400 million a year. They're the fifth largest. They've got this...
ACS.
This huge investment in Open Edge, and they're saying the last thing we really want to do is for Progress to turn around and say, well, all you've got to do is just scrap all that, write everything in role-based, or move to any of the other... So what we've come up with is this concept of the cloud investment model. And the cloud investment model is where what we're trying to do for partners, application partners and direct end users, is to provide them with a framework for making these types of decisions. What to move, how to move it, when to do it, how to leverage their Open Edge investments, but most of all, based on business needs. A lot of partners say, well, we want to build a mobile application. Well, why? Well, it seems like the right thing to do. It's cool. Right, and that's really not the right way to do it. So we provide a kind of a business framework, and as you can see, it is actually comprehended within the Pacific architecture. If you look at Pacific, right down at the bottom there, you'll see public, private, and on-premise. So always in our mind from the word go, we had this concept of being able to move seamlessly between on-premise and the cloud. So this isn't a Gartner Magic Quadrant, by the way. Somebody said to me that this looked like a Gartner Magic Quadrant. It isn't. It's just one of the ways that I sort of try to visualize where people are in this ecosystem today. So down, so you've got solutions, existing and new, along the left-hand side there. Along the bottom, the markets that you're addressing, the existing and new markets. Some application partners are here. They don't want to hear anything about building new applications or going into new markets. They say, we've got our existing customer base, we get our 15, 17, 20% annual maintenance fees, whatever it happens to be. And their sole business objective is just to keep their existing customers. And then over at the top right there, you've got the folks who are saying, our market's going away, we want to expand, we want to build a business, they want a business growth. And in between there, you've got this whole range, I'll build this out just for the sake of speed here, you've got this whole range of business problems. So if your existing solution in an existing market, what's the first thing your customers say to you? They say, I want what you've got today, but I just want it on a cloud business model. What they mean is they don't want to pay this large upfront fee or maintenance, they just want to pay by the drink. If I've got 100 users, I pay for 100 users. 1,000 users, I pay for 1,000 users. So it's this concept of delivering as a SaaS model. And then as you move further up, and companies start to say, I want to expand my existing customer base, I want to move into new markets, you then run into implementation and integration issues. Here is really where you flip from being basically having an on-premise solution to being a cloud-based solution. And this is where you've got to start adding new features and functions quite quickly to your existing Open Edge applications. And it goes all the way up to the top right there, where companies, the aggressive companies, are saying, I want to move into new markets, but it's just taking me time to market is critical. I just don't have the 3 years that it's going to take to develop this leading edge business application. But on the other hand, I've got this investment in Open Edge, which can give me a solid foundation. How do I do it? So we've come up with this thing called the cloud investment model. And what we've done is, I'll build this out. And I apologize about the graphics here. I'm not a graphics artist, I'm afraid. So this is still a work in progress. So I apologize about the horrible colors. But basically what we said is, you know, there's five stages that companies, five levels that companies can choose depending on their business needs as to what they should actually be doing. So down at the bottom there, for the companies who just say, I need to take my existing solution with my existing customers and I need to deliver it on a more a cloud-like business model, a pay by the drink. Application modernization, so I would reckon of the application partners we have both here and in Europe, probably around about 15 to 20%, no more than that, are toying with this. Okay, they know they want to take their existing applications, they want to throw them into a data center somewhere, put a Citrix front end on them, and you know, Bob's your uncle. Then I've got my SaaS business model. Application modernization, though, this is the area where Open Edge partners really decide, I need to invest in the future. I want Open Edge to be my platform for the future. They may not have moved to Open Edge 11.3, so they may not have multi-tenancy. They may not have followed the Open Edge reference architecture. But they know that in order to move forward, they've got to do this. And then sitting above that, how do I rapid application enhancement? How do I do that? How do I, if a customer comes along and says, I want a mobile application, but I need it next week, how do they do that? Do they use Open Edge? Do they go off and write something with, you know, the Apple or the Android SDK? And then all the way up to this is the new buzzword in IT, which is collaboration and data integration. This concept of where you treat your ecosystem of partners and customers as one continuous ecosystem, and how do I communicate with them? How do I exchange data with them? So that is the cloud investment model. What we put, a note, when we talk to partners, we say, don't think about should your company go to the cloud or should you stay. It's done on an application by an application basis. So if you've got six applications which are based on OpenEdge, you need to look at the cloud investment model for each of these applications. So it's done on an application by application basis. And behind that, we have got a whole wealth of resources and programs and services which can back this up. So we don't just throw this stuff over the fence and say, well, you know, here's one application hosting, you can use, you know, OpenEdge in a data center, or you can use Arcade, or if you want to go to application modernization, then you use 11.3. It's much, much more than that. There's a whole bunch of enablements and empowerment programs which go along with it, which Jess and Kim mentioned earlier, and which we're going to go into a lot more detail about in a second. But there's also these services down here. This afternoon, I've got a deeper dive on the program that we're putting together for you folks that we really hope you'll engage with us on. So, but I'm not going to go into details now. But suffice it to say, things like application health fix, application modernization engagements, we've already got those services put together. And especially in Europe, where we don't have the professional services coverage, services partners are absolutely critical in delivering things. These services that we've, and I apologize, this is in the old, it's not in the orange format here. We haven't had a chance to update this. But so we've got things like the system health check. System health check you'd use if a customer says, all I want to do is just put my OpenEdge application out into the cloud. I want to put, you know, into a data center, put some kind of remote desktop in front of it. There's certain things you have to do to make sure the thing doesn't just collapse in a heap. And so we have a methodology here. The application modernization assessment is where I think more and more partners are going to move in the coming 18 to 24 months. I think there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of APs and direct end users who are saying, I sort of get it. In order to get to the cloud, I've really got to tidy up my OpenEdge stuff. I've got to expose services in OpenEdge. I've got to be able to basically have a back-end services layer. So these are the kinds of programs that we want to promote through our services partners. Couple of questions that partners ask us all the time. The first one is, and it didn't come up today, which is actually quite surprising, but is Pacific a replacement for OpenEdge? And the answer is, you know, it's absolutely not. It complements OpenEdge. And once you get to know a little bit more, and hopefully you will, about the cloud investment model, you'll see that what we've built into this is a complete synergy between OpenEdge objects, service objects, and what you can do with Rollbase, what you can do with Corticon. And also the announcement of Modulus today, a lot of our partners, again, I think Acumen in Europe, and there's a couple of other partners, are actually using this to extend their OpenEdge applications. So it's fully in line with you know, with the strategy. So what we say to people is, no, you can use, you can access OpenEdge objects, which you already know. You can send blah, 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 blah. This is probably the most important thing, is this ability to be able to surround, and this is what the Modulus announcement in part allows us to do. It allows us to actually truly integrate all these components together. And I put over on the right-hand side there, don't think about one replacing the other. Think about OpenEdge being more about your systems of record, right? If you look around at what most people are doing with OpenEdge is some kind of systems of record. And then what you do is you build on top of that this cloud-based layer which forms your systems of engagement. So that's where you do all the sizzly stuff like mobility and all the rest of it. And the two are designed to work together. That's the way the world will build applications in the coming years. They'll build them, you'll be able to recognize the front end, which is the engaging part, and you'll be able to recognize the system of record. So the key takeaway to partners is this. Leverage and enhance your OpenEdge investment. We're not saying that's right all the way. The second question, again, resources available on PartnerLink. There's a whole bunch of white papers available there on how do you actually do that. So I just picked out one in particular accessing the app server. That seems to be, of the partners that I've spoken to, it's really getting to the app server. That's the critical part of application modernization. Once you've got to the stage where your OpenEdge is based around the app server, it's then you can start to extend the functionality out into the cloud. So, and there's a whole white paper on how you actually do that. Once you've got the app server up and running, how do you actually start to access it from Rollbase and Corticon and everything like that? So that's a resource that's available. The second question that we and probably you as service partners as well get is, so should we host, how should we do this? I can tell you that over here, from the partners that I've spoken to, so the discussion with the partner is, a customer comes along, and at the moment they're providing on-premise, so they provide, you know, they're selling the hardware, they're selling the software, then they're selling the maintenance and the upgrade services and support. When they move to the cloud, what should happen to that infrastructure? And a surprising number of partners say, well, we're going to bring that infrastructure in-house. We're actually going to become a service provider ourselves. And then when you talk to them, you find that the reasons for doing it, they're sort of like, as my kids would say 20 minutes ago, what they're saying is their objections like security and reliability and availability. That was true 10 years ago, but it's absolutely not true today. Again, this afternoon in my session, I'll be talking about the service provider relationships that we're building here, and especially in Europe. But if you ask customers, where do you want to host your applications going forward? Most of them say, we're going to form relationships with service providers, the Savvises, the Rackspace doesn't exist now, but the Rackspaces and the Amazons of this world, as opposed to the ISV saying, no, we'll host it all for you, because that's not what they want to do. They actually want service provider relationships. So what I say to service providers is, you might want to host it yourselves internally, but long term that isn't the right way to do it. It's A, you don't get the economies of scale. The whole point about the cloud is you don't buy hardware, right? So what's the point of providing a SaaS business model to your customer? You have to go out and buy the hardware. There's no net gain there. So this is an area where application partners and direct end users need help. They need services partners who understand how to, Acceoma. Anybody connected with Acceoma here? You are. So is it your customer or what?
Customer partner.
Okay. Right. So once they made the decision to move to Pyrenet, right? They're on Pyrenet. It then raises the question: who's going to manage it? Who's going to manage that OpenEdge infrastructure? The service provider will turn around and say, I don't know OpenEdge. That's not what I do. What I do is I maintain infrastructure, and then people put their stuff on top of that and they manage it. Acceoma's going, well, you know, it's not really what I want to do either. I'm an ISV, I write software. So there is a huge opportunity there. That scenario, I can tell you now, I can think of at least six other instances in Europe and over here where that scenario is going to repeat itself, where the requirement is, I need somebody to manage a hosted instance of OpenEdge, it's a big gap in the market. The message to our partners is: why do you want to go and host it yourself? Put it into Pyrenet's data center. Put it into Advania in Sweden. You know, put it into Keo Networks in Mexico, and then let a services partner then provide the services to maintain and manage that instance. It's a much better model, and that's why I said just earlier, and I'll go into this in a lot more detail about the opportunity for us to all work together here. I think this is just a tip of a huge iceberg where we could actually all make a lot of money here, us and our services partners. Again, just to finish, I'll go through some more detail. We're actually going around service providers are people like I say, the Advanias and the BTs in the UK, the Pyrenets, and also over here, Rackspace, Savvis, all the usual suspects, and forming partnerships with these service providers. And what partnerships means is they understand when somebody comes to them with an OpenEdge application or a role-based application, they understand what it actually means. And in many cases, they already have the infrastructure there ready to host the application. Those service providers will actually be quite capable. They'll be capable of hosting the environment, but they won't, they've got no interest. That's unfair. They've got no, they don't have the skills in-house to manage those implementations. Role-based, you know, it needs to be backed up once a day if it's a critical application. The service provider, well, I've got a standard service level agreement, but I just back up your instance. I don't necessarily back up all your data. So the key takeaway here is that, that you know, working with us, services partners, and with Progress, we can actually provide you with an environment at a service provider which enables you to quickly, easily, and at much lower cost, go out and start to host your applications or migrate your applications out to role-based or anything like that. So that's, I think, the last slide. So I just wanted to give you this sort of this flavor for what we're doing. You know, resources are great, but when you've got the initiatives to back up those resources or vice versa, the cloud investment model is something we're going to be spending a lot of time on in the coming months. We have a on the next quarterly partner update on the 25th, we will be now the cloud investment model is actually not new. You've probably seen it before. What we've done is to put it into much more of a market and business context. So we'll be actually going through that, the complete model, on the quarterly partner update on the 25th of June. As I say, this afternoon we'll be spending a lot more time actually on the service partner program that we're putting together here and in Europe. That's actually rolled out already, to see how you can benefit from it. And I think that's me. Done.
A quick question.
Yes.
With these hosting companies like PeerOnNet, I know why McNeva made the decision to go with this and not with Progress and Kane, for instance. It's a German-based company. He knows the application stays in charge. But what's Progress' point of view now with Arcade, which is we're not getting those services, and these service providers, is Arcade kind of like...
No, not at all. No, Europe is a slightly different case because of this new regulation coming up. You know, the General Data Protection Regulation, which I think comes into law at the end of this year. So Arcade is hosted on Amazon, and as soon as you say to a European company it's hosted on Amazon, they go, "Well, hang on a minute."
It's
you know, even to the point now where customers in Europe are saying it's not even enough just to be hosted in Europe, it has to be hosted in country, which is why we're going around to all the major countries in Europe with, I think we've already talked about HP, right? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Kim? We've already mentioned HP. So the intention is to provide OpenEdge partners with this one clean, consistent environment in all 28 countries in Europe. So so to answer your question, no, Arcade stays. There's no plans to scrap that. But more and more companies are going, you know, I need much more control over my OpenEdge. So Arcade is sort of, it's like dipping your toe in the water for the first time, just to get it up and running, see what happens, see if it works. Once it becomes business critical, more and more companies, you know, our APs and your customers are going to go, I want it to go in a service provider of my choice, not of your choice. And especially if I'm in Europe, not Amazon. You know, so Arcade is still will continue, the catalog will still continue, but more and more you're going to find that customers say, I want to use this service provider in this country. And so we give you the option. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
Okay. Back to Mr. Huber.
There we go. Excellent.
That's just one example of what Progress is doing, technology, innovations, etc. As you can see, we're bringing subject matter experts as a part of our team internally. But it's all still back into you, the partner, right? What does all of this mean? Especially if you're an ISV, thinking about moving to an SP, or whatever the maneuver is. The ecosystem is becoming large. Our program is making sure that elements and the pillars of our program cover that. So you heard about PartnerLink earlier. That's going to be the mainstay. That's going to be where a lot of the data, whether it's a line of business, technical, cooperative programs, resources, training, please get used to going there to find out all the information around all of the products. And like I said, if anybody doesn't have access to it, let me know. But it's very simple. Your progress ID, which is something that you're familiar with, is your entry point into PartnerLink. Very important that you should understand that it's a one-stop shop resource center. So the cloud investment model and its various different chapters, go to PartnerLink to look at the various steps inside the cloud investment model. The business empowerment side, business, sales and marketing empowerment, technical empowerment. Those are where all the resources are to empower you to move to those next growth steps in your organization. We have sections just based on product. We have marketing and marketing resources section. Social media, we have the third party webinars that we'll get into a little bit more of an explanation later on, but this is the home page. That marquee up on the top, we update that with a lot of new things that are going on within progress. Anything that you may see inside the newsflash or the newsletters, come here to find out more. One of the things that's very important, right up upper right hand corner, the progress overview. If you need to answer very quickly why progress, that's the one pager that you can carry along with you as a partner. Powered by Progress takes that message and your message and brings it all together. Those resources are they're inside of PartnerLink. That's where you're going to find them. Just some iterations of the featured content that we do have. As I mentioned, the product resources section covers every single product: OpenEdge, Corticon, DataDirect, Rollbase, Easel. And it's broken down into assets like white papers, presentations, data sheets, analyst reports on thought leadership from the industry, but then we put it inside of that particular product bucket, how it relates to that. Much, much more videos. So get used to going through PartnerLink. Doesn't matter if you're an OpenEdge partner and you're now interested in finding out more about Rollbase. Well, go to PartnerLink so you can get educated on Rollbase. We have that comprehensive empowerment section. I'm going to introduce Ali. Kim mentioned Ali earlier today. Ali just joined our team, really targeting working with me and the rest of our partner team on the ingredients and the assets that we're going to have underneath the empowerment umbrella. Ali, why don't you stand up and join
sure
me
on a couple of these things. Sure thing. So, hey there. Hi, everyone. So, I'm Ali Hanyololu. It is day 6 for me at Progress, so I am definitely the new guy. Previously for Progress, I spent 17 years at Adobe, and I was running the enablement that happened for partners, customers, and Adobe sales teams for the Acrobat and Reader business line. I've worn many hats while at Adobe, including those with propellers on as well. And so I was really excited to be able to have the opportunity to join the Progress team and help them with their vision, with what they want to do. And I've been seriously impressed with the program for partners and also with the team. In fact, last week you heard earlier on about the partner sales program training that happened, where a sales methodology training was done for 2 days. I attended that, and as soon as it was over, I called a former colleague of mine and said, hey, guess what? These guys at Progress, they actually give sales methodology training for their partners. Really, they do? Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of free resources that they can get. And the response from my former colleague was, wow, investing for the future, eh? And I would totally agree with that. So one of the things I'll be doing is I'll be looking at the technical and sales enablement for our partners globally. And looking at the resources on PartnerLink, you'll see that yes, there is a number of technical related resources. Your reference guides and your instructor-led training, great, they're hugely important to what needs to be done. If you can click over for me for a couple of clicks. But we also need to factor in to the business side of things and also the sales and marketing, again for me, in order to be able to identify where the new opportunities are that we can all mutually go into and benefit from, as well as enabling and ensuring our sales teams are ready to be able to engage with current and new customers as well. So let's take a quick look at some of the resources, learn and look at what's up there. We've been talking about this already for this morning. So on the business empowerment side, a number of resources that are up here to help our partners to be able to identify where those new opportunities may be, including some that maybe others haven't even thought of yet, and get those insights that can help us do that in a more strategic way. So for example, there is the Business Empowerment webinar series. Carl, you want to quickly talk about that for a moment?
Sure. One of the things that we did was we collected a lot of the topic information around, for instance, SaaS, the cloud investment model. And what we did was we took all of that data, those replays, some industry tidbits of information, and we've incorporated them inside of the business webinar series. And when you go to this page, you'll see some upcoming ones that we try to highlight to stay tuned for, but you'll also see a lot of the past business empowerment workshops that we've done are there. How to price SaaS, how do you maybe go into new markets with a SaaS application. The cloud investment model, like I said, that's going to have a couple of three different chapters to it. So get used to going to the business empowerment site, just even if you're trying to find out what's going on in that industry, in that innovative technology. And then what happens is when you get involved in that area, then you go back and to find out more about the products that are there, what are some of the resources that can help you there, or what are some of the training that your technology people may have to take.
And it's not just this information from Progress, but yes, there is a lot of third-party industry analysis and research. A lot of the time, this is the kind of content where you usually have to pay for it yourself or give up your firstborn in a web form before you actually get to the white paper. There's a lot of information already available that the Progress team have taken care of for you to access, understand what's going on out there in industry. So that's the business side of things, but then there is the actual sales and marketing, which boils more down to not just the strategy, but also the execution of being able to move into these new opportunities. So there are a lot of on-demand webinars and webinar series around things that will help with a marketing strategy, such as a demand generation campaign and what that means and how you can differentiate yourselves with that. There's a lot of best practices around engaging with potential clients or maybe with other partners to help bring together a solution. So this isn't just about social media and how to use Twitter. It's about how to engage with customers and others in the ecosystem leveraging social media or other demand generation means.
We had a lot of partners come back as a response to this program. In the earlier session that we had, not many of the partners that we're dealing with in the Open Edge community may have marketing folks, right? Maybe they do have an instance of having a couple of folks as a part of the team. But we've encouraged some of those line of business or some of the technologists of our partner, just go take a look at some of these webinars. Just even if it's something that's a part of your growth strategy that you may have to deal with later on, we want to continue to educate, nurture, as we pick up on those nuances, we want to share them with the partner.
Yep. And then there's also the messaging, as Carl mentioned earlier on. And then, of course, yes, there is the technical empowerment side of things, ensuring that you and your teams are all up to speed on what you need to know to be able to build, go to market, and win with these solutions that we're delivering. So there is actually a whole bunch of sessions and learning around how to work in an AWS cloud infrastructure. This is a big, complex topic in and of itself, and there's a lot of free resources available out there today. For example, I was looking through and I saw one that's around how to follow best practices for both Open Edge and Amazon Web Services security. It's a very specific topic, but deep, detailed insights into that. And then, of course, there were all the traditional freely available, did we mention it? It was free, resources that are available in the Progress Education community and a lot of the web-based training. And then there are some other specific product training within PartnerLink around each of the products. So on the role base, you'll find introductory materials and deep dives and things like that.
So I want to just give you, this is a quick, simple screenshot of the Open Edge training site page. As you'll see, we've listed all of the appropriate methodology and training courses, whether it's from a sales perspective or a technology perspective. And because you're already inside of the Resource Center, when you go to click on any one of those courses, should that be of interest, the next screen will give you the little bit of a syllabus of the course, a little bit of an example of what the descriptor of the course is. Then right there on the spot, there's a button called Enroll. When you click on that, you're now enrolled for the course. And you'll get that reminders because now it's a part of, you're tapping into the Progress e-learning community. That's what the PEC is. So as with OpenEdge, same thing for Corticon, same thing for Rollbase. When you go to any one of those Progress pages, or the product pages, sorry, you'll see all of the appropriate courses that are presently available for those particular products. So that's what, get used to PartnerLink, because PartnerLink is based on, if you're interested in Rollbase and finding everything you were interested in Rollbase or Corticon, how Corticon and OpenEdge work together, get used to go to PartnerLink. That's going to be where you're going to find the information. And we, as the partner team, we work with a lot of the content stakeholders. We work with product management, we work with product marketing. Why? Because they're the ones building a lot of the content, but our simple job is to make sure that we present it to you inside of the partner resource portal. LMS is the learning management system. Some of you may be already inside of that. But the other thing with the PEC is, as you go into your PEC homepage, this is mine. So here's all of my enrollments. Here's some of the updates that I have for new courses coming on board. It's a great place, but it's all connected together. Everything about what you need to do, short term and long term, is going to be tracked. The Partner Plus program, you heard Kim and Jessica talk about it. It's come a long way. Our ecosystem is getting huge. A lot of different things happening. A lot of things happening still with OpenEdge, moving through the iterations of where we're taking it. The Partner Plus program site page inside of PartnerLink is where you're going to find everything about what the program is, some of the details of the program, the various different elements that we have for the program, the various different stages of the partner community. If I'm an OpenEdge ISV and I may think I want to become a service provider or TAP, get used to going to the Partner Plus site to get use some of that information for you. The Powered by Progress is a program that we have, cooperative branding. If you have a campaign that you want to put in place, biggest thing is, as a partner, as a Progress partner, bring the Progress logo forward. And I mentioned earlier the one pager. Many, many resources and assets around the Partner Plus program, you'll find it here. Partner development funds for those partners. If you're now looking at some activity where you could get some extra monies to your budgets, our partners are eligible for the Partner Development Fund. Even if you want to just find out what it's all about, go to the Partner Plus page, look at the guidelines document, and then go back to your partner account manager and inquire about it. You heard about the Partner Business Plan. Everything that you're starting to hear happening with Progress is important to you in some way, shape, or form. You need to be working with your partner account manager, because this is all about you. This plan that says, well, all right, I'm here today, I want to be here tomorrow, this is where it all happens. As you can see, it helps us, Progress, understand your market, who your customer are, what your product does, what are some of the nuances about you as a company. But in many instances, we're finding out with some of our partners, if they're market saturated, what do they need to do to get beyond that? How do they differentiate themselves? New customer acquisition. Well, what is that all about? Well, this kind of a plan allows our partner account manager at Progress to sit down with you and make sure that we are teamed up with you. If you have a growth strategy, you want to say this time next year, I want to be here. Well, this is the tool that's going to collect all of that data that your partner account manager is going to come back inside of Progress and get all of the elements to make those objectives successful. The directory. You may be on the directory, you may not be, depending on where you've been in the life cycle of Progress. Come inside of PartnerLink. Go and check to see if my company's up there. If not, go in right there, that top icon, that's where you start. You can go and create your directory profile, or you can go and search for others. simple image of what the company profile looks like. It's everything about you, your markets, the description of how you want to talk about yourself, industry served, the regions, application type, based on what progress product, social network. If the company has a LinkedIn or Facebook, put it up here. And as I mentioned earlier when Tom was asking about it, we do ask you, what else do you need? But more importantly, begin to put your contact information out there as well. If you're the administrator of your profile, well, you're going to put in all that information. You're going to update it as you update your company profile, as you go after new markets. You want to put your contact information in here because, as Jessica said, it is behind a firewall. We're encouraging the collaboration between partners. We have an area that prompts you, I'd like to collaborate with other partners interested in application development, database fine-tuning, geography expansion. Put that out there. Just say, I'm interested, because behind the firewall, your peers and colleagues could take a look and see what you're doing about that. Any member of your company can go in and put their contact information underneath your company profile. Even more important, again, still behind PartnerLink, go and search for others that may be in the same space as you are, but maybe in different regions. Get to know one another. We encourage that tremendously. As we mentioned earlier, your company profile data is definitely presented up on the Global Solutions Directory on the public website. Put yourself out there. Let people find you when they go and search for a financial application in manufacturing in Russia. Put yourself out there if that's where you want to be presenting. Mobile. It's an OE app. It's going mobile. We're going through the App Store, and matter of fact, one other thing that we're trying to do, Shelley Chase and I have been working around, even taking a piece of this inside of the role-based world. Progress Community is the last thing I want to share with you. It's a community that we're opening up to our end users and partners. One of the things that we're going to be doing inside of PartnerLink, here's the PartnerLink homepage. What we're going to be presenting are the recent forums being posted inside of today's community world. And when you want to go and see the thread, a little bit more about the thread, you're going right into the community. You're seeing more about that thread, how long it's been there, and now it's going to be associated to you or tied to you, so you can stay in touch. Again, your progress ID is bringing you into the realm of the internet inside of progress. So many, many resources, many, many new topics, many new products coming on board from progress. Get used to PartnerLink. Get used to becoming familiar with our team as a partner. There's a lot of us that are chartered with your success. Biggest thing is, I could say, work with your partner account manager, get the business plan in place so we can see where you're going, and then help you to successfully get there. Directory, if you're not in a directory, go into the directory. If you want to go and find out more about PartnerLink, if you need to find out or encourage yourself to participate in PartnerLink, if all of a sudden you'd like to share some of the things about yourself, a success story, we'd be more than happy to enjoy that and share that with some of the partners that are out there. The team is getting bigger. You met Kim, Jessica, Richard, myself, Ollie. Chuck is sitting in the audience. Chuck is involved as part of our partner marketing team, Laura Rice. Cynthia Cooper, we work very closely with Cynthia Cooper for case studies. You're a partner, you have a case or a success story about you, what you've done, what you've developed, new markets you've approached, tell us, we'd like to share it.
Totally.
Or tell us about one of your customers' success story. Why? Because you never know, other customers may be out there trying to do the same thing. So the three of us, thank you. You've heard from all of us in different snippets. We're here to support your efforts, and hopefully today's pug and tomorrow and the rest of the week is very beneficial. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And please do let us know if there's anything else we can help you with. Please reach out.